Show you what it is, and let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this, and I do pray you'd help us to be good students of your word. We thank you for it, and we appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in your Bible, if you have the reference Bible, this you'll see would be page 264, Numbers 22. So that's what this one is. So this is the first edition came out in 2004. Now we're up to the sixth edition. So, and in this is about Balaam. So 22 to 25, there are four chapters that deal with Balaam and how Balaam deceived Israel. And then we'll find this also in the New Testament. So here in 22. Now here, let me show you this one. This is a fella emailed me a couple years ago and asked if he could put the reference Bible in electronic format so that you can just get the reference Bible. And then, see, like here's Numbers 22. And then we put on that cross-reference, the reference comes right up. So when you go to that cross-reference, the reference comes right up. So it's pretty nifty. And then when you hit this on the footnote comes up, but when you double-click it, then it goes on the side. That's pretty nifty. And what I like about it, too, is, you know, you always got to kind of keep track of the opposition. So here's the parallel. Okay, now if you go down here, Matthew 17, and looky here, Matthew 17, 21, goodbye. It's right there in the text. And then if you go to Matthew 18, verse 11, goodbye. Parallel Bibles, parallel translations really let the cat out of the bag. Gone. And you go to 23, yeah, of course I've got, you know, I know what these verses are. And that's what I do is if somebody has a new Bible on the street, I don't criticize or anything. I just ask them, hey, would you look at this verse for me? It's a real blessing to me. And I give them one that's missing to get them to think. So that's that, and so go back to, and then you hit each of the, I think this was numbers, there we go, 22. So this is real handy, and then the comment reference Bible is right there. And the fellow that asked me to do that, you know, I thought when they first asked me about it, I thought, so I waited 9 months or a year. And so then I sent him an email and said, what do you want to do again? And he told me, and I thought, okay, let's give it a try. And so he did this. It's amazing. It's a Bible Analyzer 5.4. It costs $10, so you can have the reference Bible on your laptop for $10. I thought it was real reasonable. And I showed this to Brent when we were in Belgium, and he said, man, I'd like to get a copy of that. And Jen said, well, you just bought it. It's on your laptop now, because we had to do it to load it up on them. And so this is real handy. So you got the, then over here in the margin, you got the footnote. What's nice about the footnote is when you hit this, the verse actually comes up. Totally. So that's pretty neat. That's the Bible Analyzer. This is the Bible that you, if you have the reference Bible, what it looks like. Okay. And then here's another thing on here that I can't figure out how to get it smaller on here. But this is a new program that's recently come out. It's a freebie, King James Pure Bible Search. I can't figure out on here. I can get it on my laptop where I'm supposed to have it, but for some reason when I plug it into this, it doesn't. Over here is where you could search for words. And I have searched for the word Lord, and it says it occurs 7,836 times in the Bible. And then here, when I hit Control D, that comes up. And in Deuteronomy 16:11, It is the 1611th verse time that word shows up in the Bible. And it's the seventh word in the verse. And then Lord is the 49th word in a verse, so seven times seven. That, I mean, whoever put this together, it's a church in Missouri. They did a wonderful thing. And so you could search on this, but beans, I can't get this, figure out how to get it smaller. I'll go back to this. Okay, so Numbers 22, studying the book, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab. Moab, mother of all bombs. Okay, Moab. On this side, Jordan by Jericho. Okay, where's that? Okay, so here's the Bible map. I was able to get this on the third edition. I got a program and figured out how to set these up. So, and then what I did when I made these Bible maps, I put chapter and verse, why that's there, why that's there, and there's a chapter and verse. Okay, now, I personally have been here, 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 all down through here, traveled down through here. From here to here, I got to talk on the bus about the King James Bible, and then right out there is where Nineveh is, where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And the water here is 5,000 feet deep. The water here is 5,000 feet deep. The water here gradually goes down to about 1,000 and gradually comes up 8 miles across. And Ron Wyatt found horse hooves, chariot wheels in that area. So right here is at Nineveh. Right there is a concrete pillar. The one on the Egyptian side has nothing on it. The one on the Saudi Arabian side, which they have taken down and put it away, had written in Hebrew, it had Moses, death, Pharaoh, Solomon, and a couple other things. So it looks like Solomon put that there as a memorial. So, and then I had a young man tell me he didn't believe where Mount Sinai is over here. Tradition, if you look at any Bible maps in any in the bookstores, they'll have Mount Sinai here. And then they won't have the children of Israel ever cross the Red Sea. They won't do it. So it's discovered it's over here. And I had a young man say to me, I don't believe it's over there. I said, okay, you tell me. Where did Moses go to hide for 40 years? And you can get this on any map. And the answer is Midian. That's where he went, to Midian. And Midian, he said down here in Mount Sinai, you will serve me on this mountain, when he was in Midian. And Midian and Mount Sinai, this verse says that Mount Sinai, that's where it's at, but Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia. And so, and when I pointed that out to him, he said, I've always wondered about that. Okay, here is Al-Bad. You find that on Google Earth. And down in here is a place on Google Earth that will say Moses Well. That's where, remember the story, he watered the sheep and everything down there. So he, to run away from Egypt, he came way over here on the north side here. He came down in here, and he made sure he got far away, a fugitive. Okay, so it said in our text, it says here, Israel set forward, pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan. So they came up this direction. Edom, that's the Edomites, that's Esau. Moab, that's the, remember the first people that were the first ones for this nation was Lot's daughter, and Amnon, Lot's other daughter. So that's how these nations began. So this is where they're at. Okay, this is desert-like. You got a little valley in here. Right up here, right in this corner, is where Adma and Bozer was. Right here is where Gomorrah was. I have sulfur from that area. Right down here is where Sodom was. So that's there. So the Israelites came up here, and they were camped right here. Right here, Mount Nebo, is where Moses got to look into the land of Canaan and then died. Okay, and then Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, and so we have the children of Israel set forward, pitched in the plains of Moab on this side, Jordan by Jericho, and Balak. Okay, here's this guy, Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites. So the previous chapter, that's when the children of Israel defeated the Amorites. And so he had his messengers, his ambassadors go out there, his scouts, and they found out. And of course, this created great fear in the nation of Moab, Balak. And so Balak's trying to do something about it. And so Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. Okay, and there, that's back to 15. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So it's like the Lord often sends thoughts, okay, to people. He could send a thought to one or to thousands. And so these people, morale was devastated even before Israel got there. So they were scared to death. Moab said unto the elders of Midian, okay, so that's Midian, that's Saudi Arabia, and that verse will back that up. And he said, now shall this company lick up all that are round. So what's the common saying? So I put the common saying in the center. They're going to lick us. Okay, that's where that came from. Okay, and they're going to lick up all around about us as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, there's that guy, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at the time. So he's trying to get ahead of this game here. He's trying to get ahead of this battle. So he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam. So you got this guy. Now, this guy, Balaam, I write this in the margin about him. And he's a rather strange character, and he's the guy that actually talked back to the donkey when it talked to him, okay, which is funny to think about. And now Balaam, okay, right here, when I put that, you have a bunch of cross-references in your Bible, okay? Let's get this down, and we get rid of that too. So down here in the reference Bible, it says, there's the idea of lick. Okay, there's Balaam, H. And so we got all these references. And I put them chronologically. Numbers 31:6 is where he died. He got killed in battle. Okay, Deuteronomy 23 is just a mention of him. Joshua's a mention of him. But in the New Testament, we see him mentioned, notice, three times. So here, something that took place 3,500 years ago is going to be taking place again. Now, okay, remember that Peter and Jude and the writer of Revelation is John, and then James. All four of those guys retained their apostleship to the circumcision, so they retained their apostleship to the Jews. So when we read these letters, 1st, 2nd Peter, Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and even Revelation, we got to keep in mind, Jew first, and you and I might get something out of it. But the Jew goes first. Okay, and so in 2nd Peter 2:15, has a reference there about him, and then Jude 11 is another reference about him. Okay, so I want to go to the 2nd Peter. If that other program would work better, I would be able to do it quicker, but here we go. Okay, 2 Peter 2, 15. So there I have there back to Numbers 22:5. Now how a person can start to remember those references, The way I created a reference Bible in my Scofield reference Bible, at Numbers 22, I put all those references. And then I go to 2 Peter 2, and then I put the references back in again if there's space. If there's not space, then I will just, and it looks like there's not space when you get to 2 Peter, then I'll just put the first ones. Okay, but notice this. Okay, which hath forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who, notice, loved the wages of righteousness. It didn't say he loved unrighteousness. He loved the wages. That'd be like a drug pusher who don't take drugs. They love the money. They get off the drugs, but they'll never take the drugs. So Balaam was a character. He liked the wages of unrighteousness, but he as a man may have been a moral man, but yet, boy, did he mess with what God said. He messed with his words. And here's a funny one. But was rebuked for his iniquity. Look at there. There's a common phrase right there. Anybody call you that? A dumb? They call you that. I just say, hey, man, you quoted a Bible. Thank you very much. Okay. And so there's that common saying right there. Okay. And then this one, you got five. Okay, so it appears Balaam was a moral man in his personal life, but he made a living from the unrighteous acts of wicked men. So we get this out of Numbers. So we look at this guy named Balaam, okay, and you'll find him again in Revelation 2. Now, this is not a misprint in my Bible. It must have been a glitch in the program. That should be, instead of Judges 1:11, that's Jude verse 11. So, but when I saw that, I said, oh, no. So I looked in the reference Bible, and it was right there. Okay, so this Balaam guy is quite an interesting character. So I write about this man in footnote. This is a very extensive footnote. In the reference Bible, I write about him. Okay, where Balaam's actions reveal the subtle steps to apostasy and death. He had the plenary verbally inspired originals. Now, that's a phrase that professors, scholars always talk about, yet they've never seen it a day in their life. Okay, he had them because God spoke to him personally. He had visions, God spoke to him personally. That wasn't his desire. Even though he had the words, his desire was fame and fortune. That's what his desire was. That's what his driving force was. And he was not going to let that get in the way. He wasn't going to let the Bible get in the way. So we're going to, as we read down through this, I'll point this out about Balaam. And he is what the Bible would call a typical hireling. You see the word for hire. And in John 10, that's what Jesus likens false prophets to be, a hireling. They're for hire. And once they lose that, they'll abandon their sheep just like anything. Now, this guy Balaam here, he refused to declare the words of God that did not benefit his ministry. And sadly, that is the norm. That's the norm today. And I'll show that as we read down through it. So his Balaam's ministry was his God. Anything that would affect his ministry, he would do anything to protect it. Come lying, stealing, thieving, just as long as his ministry was protected. And he needed money to promote that ministry. Okay, and then I write this. Apostasy of the prophets and priests breeds apathy in the people, which leads to anarchy by the princes. So that's politics, okay? So everything starts in the Christian colleges or with the pastors. When they are apostate, the people become apathetic because they recognize, he don't believe this book. Since he don't believe it, why should I believe it? Who cares? And Jeremiah 5 verse 30 says, There's a horrible and wonderful, that one I quoted last week with the mouse. Okay, and a horrible and wonderful thing is committed in a land. The priests bear rule by their own means, and a prophet's prophesy fault, and my people love to have it so. That's a bad commentary on people. Noah Webster said this: the principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to all public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. And so what Noah Webster is putting a blame where it's supposed to. And this is why judgment begins at the house of God. Because what's wrong with America? It's the churches. That's what's wrong with America. The churches will blame the transgenders and the sodomites, but God puts the blame where it rightfully belongs, on the church. You know, that's where it starts. And this has been going on for a long time. Apostasy in the schools has been going on for a long, long time. So, okay, back to Balaam. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam. So that's Balak. He sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of Israel, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people. He don't tell them who it is. There is a people come out from Egypt, and I'm sure Balaam knows. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now. That come now, if anybody's ever had to deal with court, that almost always be at the beginning of a document. Come now, or comes now. I don't know why that is, but that's just a pattern. And he's Balak is a politician, so he's going to use a legal idea, and this comes from the Bible. Come now, therefore, I pray thee. Sometimes you'll see in court documents that an attorney will pray to the judge. It simply means they're asking the judge. I pray to the judge. And so what he's asking, he says, curse me, this people, for they are too mighty for me. There's about 3 million of them. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want, the old English word, usual, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed and he whom thou cursed is cursed. So evidently this guy had a reputation. And he had a reputation that he could bless certain people, certain places, and it would happen. He'd curse people, and it would happen. So this guy had some religious clout, I guess you could say. And so Balak is asking Balaam to get rid of, curse, about 3 million people. What a nice guy. You know, about like the Georgia Guidestones wants to get world population down to 500 million. But somebody blew that up last year sometime. I don't know who. Okay, and so that's what the messenger is wants them to say. And then he says in verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. Okay, the rewards. So evidently he had divination is fortune telling. It's like the folks down here. You know, that think they can read your palm. I always thought it'd be kind of fun if you went to a palm reader, but you wrote on your hand, you need to get saved, and have them read your palm and just watch the reaction on that one. Okay, but Deuteronomy 18, this is forbidden, obviously. Okay, the wards of divination and necromancy and horoscopes and all that stuff. That's forbidden under the law. Okay, so they're going to have some money in their hand. They came unto Balaam and spake unto him all the words of Balak. He said unto him, Balaam said unto Moab, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. Oh, that kind of sounds pious. As the Lord shall... How about... I will speak what the Lord says unto me. He says, as, that's kind of generic. And he spake as the words of God, but not all the words of God. And we're going to see that's what he did. And it seems kind of subtle, but I'll show you how vital it is once we get down a little bit further. So as the Lord, now in the Second Chronicles, that's that one guy named Micaiah. Remember, that's when Ahab and Jehoshaphat, jumping Jehoshaphat, that's when they were getting part of a battle. They weren't supposed to. Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, we need to have a real prophet here. All your prophets are agreeing with you. They're yes men. We need somebody. And he says, well, there's a guy I got in jail, Micaiah. I hate the guy. He said, well, don't say that. He said, but I hate him. He said, well, pull him up here and have him speak to us. And when Micaiah is out of prison, the guard is telling him, here's what the prophet said. Come on, Micaiah, why don't you just quit being such a divider? Why don't you just go along? Get along, go along. You'll get out of jail. And then he says, well, I'm going to tell him what God says. Oh, man, you just never get over it, will you? And he did. So that's what that verse is. But Balaam's not willing to do that. Balaam is going to make it generic. He's going to pick out what God says just a little bit, but he's not going to give all of it. So he declared the basic fundamental that would promote his goal. And so, yeah, that's typically what he's going to do. Okay, and it says, okay, God came unto Balaam. So that didn't surprise him. How did God come into those guys? This verse, and there's many others. You could go with Numbers 12:6. God came to those men by dreams and visions. And that one is Genesis 20 is how he spoke to Abimelech, who's quite a character. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent me unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them, drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, okay, three-point outline. Here's a three-point outline, what God gives. Thou shalt not go with them. Number one, thou shalt not curse the people. Number two, for they are blessed. So that's the words that God said to him. Next morning, Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. I can't go with you. Now, if he would have said, I can't go with you, I can't curse them, because they're blessed, that might have tied the rag on the bush, stopped it. But all he said, I can't go with you. Okay, so that's what he said. Now, this leave, that's a military term. Give me leave is a military phrase. So that's where that comes from. And so the princes took off, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went on to Balak, said, Balaam refuses to come unto us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable. So where do we get that tradition? Your honor. Okay? Your honor. And so, yeah, we get that tradition. So here's a freebie. If we go to Isaiah, you know, if you ever dealt with court, if a judge gets mad and upset with somebody, he will threaten them with, I'm going to hold you in contempt. And then when that's done, you just say, okay, will that be direct contempt or indirect contempt? Okay, judge, will that be a criminal contempt or civil contempt? Oh, judge, can I ask for witnesses here? You know, you just start asking, I'm going to hold you in contempt if you object again. Oh, I object. Okay, so that's how they control people, through fear. But look, the Lord said in Luke 19, he is going to use our words to judge us. And here it is, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. When these earthly judges stand in front of the real judge, he's going to say, I'm going to hold you in contempt, and I don't have to have a deputy reinforce it. I got the power to do it. There it is, right in our Bible, just as pretty as could be. Yeah, a lot of people, who would have thought that? Okay, back to Numbers 22, back to Balaam. That was just a little side commercial. Okay, so since Balaam didn't give the three-point outline, Balak's thinking, okay, more money. We need to get some more money here. So the second time around, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and they said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Okay. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak. Now watch how pious this is. You could almost see the foam coming out of his mouth like a rabid dog. If Balak would give me his house full of silver, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Wow, ain't that impressive? And the reason why I say that is because I've read the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story, you can read into what this guy's attitudes. Okay, now here's the real interesting part. He says, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Why do you got to go back to God? He already told you, pal. He already told you, don't go, don't curse them, they're blessed. Why are you going to ask me again? You think I'm going to change my mind? Okay, watch the wording. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if, I put a footnote on that, if the men come to call thee, so the next morning, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the prince of Moab. God's anger was kindled. Why'd God get mad? Because they did not come and call him. God said, if they come and call you, go ahead. They didn't do it. He made sure he wasn't going to miss out on this opportunity. Now, this is where the New Bible step in. Okay, that little word if right there. Okay, let's see what the parallel does with that one. Okay, this one happens to get it right. If the men call thee. Okay, the NIV on this one says since. They changed the word if to since. Since the men call thee. Okay, so the ASV, that's the first one off. The RV was the first one off the New English Bible. This is the second one. So this one they did, they followed okay. But the New Bibles will change the word right here. I put in a footnote. Some of the New Bibles change the word if to since. And my brother-in-law was in a devotion in his church in Pennsylvania. And a pastor had an NIV, and he's reading about Balaam. And in the NIV, it says, since they come call for you. And the pastor said, I don't know why God got mad at him. And at that time, my brother-in-law was pretty certain of the King James. And he said, well, if you get a real Bible, you can figure that out. And see, that's what confuses the thing. When they change the word since, if to since, you don't know why God got mad at them. And since God said if, and they changed it, now they don't know why God got mad. So if the men call, they didn't call, he went anyway, God's angry, because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way. Now that angel is not somebody to mess with. When one angel can kill 165,000 soldiers in one night, I don't think this angel has a problem with Balaam. And he's got the sword. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. So he had two of their fellows. And the ass, the donkey, the Democratic mascot. Okay, there's the common phrase. You know, and so saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and the sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So you have the common phrase, stubborn as a mule. Okay, and so that's where that comes from. Okay, and so, but the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall between being on this side and a wall on that side. So what's the common saying? Between a rock and a hard place. So if you hear somebody say that, say, hey, did you know that? Or this, in this case, he drove him up a wall. I forgot that one. But he's between a rock and a hard place. Okay, and when he asked, saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either right hand or left. Okay, there's where, between a rock and a hard place. So these common sayings are what, to me, what really makes the Bible really just really pops off the page there. And when he asked, saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Okay, now, what the devil, the dirty dog does is he uses language, and language dies, like everything dies. Okay, and we can see the English language is dying. Okay, and what keeps our language pure is this book. But what the devil will do, he'll take like the word ass, okay, or jackass, and then he'll give it a different meaning. And so when a kid reads this in the Bible, and they get their eyes off the scripture. And what a cuss word really is taking a good word and degrading it, like the word damn. That's a Bible word. The new Bibles take that word out. They water it down to condemn. Okay, so damn and hell. Both those words in Australia is common even amongst Christians. Okay, when last time we went, one young lady in the church said to Heidi, you know, is your dad preaching this morning? And she said, no. And she goes, phew. And that's their culture. They don't think anything of it. Okay, and so these other words in the Bible, the devil will take these good words and pervert the words so that when a person reads the Bible, if they've got a dirty mind, their mind will gravitate toward the dirt. Brother Paul?
Just to see the power of the word, I mean, if you look at the modern conveyance of television and you watch Mr. Ed,
yeah,
the horse that talks, okay, or Bewitched, or any other thing, all that has come from the source of the Bible.
Yep.
They make it a national thing.
Their plots come from the Bible. Yeah, that's so true. Okay, and so like Bewitched, that's a King James only word. All the new Bibles take that out. Okay, so we got this, and then the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now, what if our animals talk to us? Now, my dog can talk, because I asked him what sandpaper feels like. He said, roof. Okay, and so, you know, that's the wrong kind, but the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou smit me these three times? And I think the funniest thing is he answered. You know, and Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. Okay, thou hast mocked me, and I would there wear a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? And was I ever wont, there's an old English word, usual, was ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And I wonder if animals can see the spirit world sometimes that we don't. And that's why they react sometimes. You know, and I do wonder if that at times. But even at that, now what if the Lord opened our eyes to see into the spirit world? Boy, would we have a different approach to things. So the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Fall on your face. Okay, and so let's see, what do we got here? Oop, got quite a few more. So let's see. And the Lord opened his eyes and saw that. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse. Perverse before. Now, he wasn't sexually perverse. But you're perverting my words. That's what he's doing. And Jeremiah, I probably have Jeremiah 23 there. Let's see if I got that. Yep. Jeremiah 23:36, that's where Jeremiah said, you have perverted the words of the living God. And so you did that, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Wow. And that's First King. Okay, that's the story of the young prophet. Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. Now that sounds like a good confession. But you know else who said that? I have sinned. Okay, the first one is Exodus 9:27. Pharaoh said that. And Pharaoh is like a dragon. The second one is 1 Samuel 15:24. King Saul said that. And he went too far and God took the kingdom from him. Job 33:27. That would have been Elihu. Matthew 27:4. So I just used those. Matthew 27:4 is Judas Iscariot who said, I've sinned. I didn't put David's in there. I could have put David's in there where he said, I have sinned against the Lord. Now that's different. And so Pharaoh, Saul, Judas Iscariot are all types of the Antichrist. And they said, I have sinned. So there's a right way of confession and a wrong way. And obviously, this is a wrong way. God reads the heart. So I have sinned. What is he upset about? The consequences of his behavior or that he perverted God's ways? I would say it was the consequences. There's many a guy cries himself to sleep in jail at night, not because he's a drunk, but because he don't like his circumstances. And so, yeah. So I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in a way against me. You knew that, you dirty dog, you liar. God said, don't go. He said, don't go. What do you mean you didn't know? How do you got to have this spelled out to you? And then he says, now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Oh, well, right. Yes, you ought to turn around and go on back. But now you're committed. And this is when God allows a man who wants to deceive himself, God allows him to complete the task. And this guy's going to die in battle because of it eventually. So, let's see. We'll stop there at 34. We'll come back. Is this helpful going this round? Is it a little different approach? I kind of like going this route on YouTube. I've been doing Hebrews this way. Back and forth, back and forth. You don't got to flip through your Bible. Don't got to wait for you to find the wrong place.
I need to know what you're doing so I can scoot up a few more.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll try it next week and a week after as we're going through Balaam and see. So is that big enough?
Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, this is how I study the word, you know. And when I did the reference Bible, I put 40 to 50 hours a week for 3.5 years, started at Genesis and worked straight through. And it was such a blessing to be able to do that. And then this fella actually can give you the exact count of the cross-references are over 62,000, plus the footnotes is 70, over 70,000 cross-references with the footnotes and everything. So, okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for your blessings. And I do pray that you'd help us to be good students of your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.